have Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, who has joined us today. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Vanessa.
So you're stopping by this morning to talk about the fact that you're not seeking re-election.
I am not seeking re-election. Yeah, we just made this decision as a family when my nine-month-old grandson, who's 9 months old right now, we baptized him four, 6 weeks ago or so. And it was the first time my three boys, our three daughters-in-law, our three grandchildren, and my husband and I were all together since the pandemic, all in one place with nobody else with us. And we kind of did a deep dive over the last 10 years that I've been doing this and thought it's time for the next chapter. And so we made that decision, announced it on Friday. And now I think it's important to know I'm not retiring. I'm just not running for re-election. I'll complete these next 20 months in this term. We have a lot of work to do, and I'll work my hardest and do my best for people in this region.
Okay. And let's talk about the 10 years. Politics has changed. A lot's changed in 10 years. Tell us about the most rewarding part of being the Congresswoman for the 17th District and what you've seen as a rising challenge.
I think the most rewarding part is every day that I wake up, I know that we're in a position to do something meaningful to help people. Actually, one of there's I would say two things that have been very, very helpful to me as far as understanding what people want me to do when I go out to Washington. One of those is our Supermarket Saturdays that we've been doing since I was first elected. And we've done more than 100 of those. And so if you kind of count all of the Saturdays that I've been in office, we do them as often as we possibly can, where I don't have any script. I usually have one other person from my team with me so she can take notes. But I just say, I introduce myself. I say, I'm Sherry Bustos. I represent this area in Congress. I'll be flying back out to Washington on Monday. What do you want me to know? And just that open-ended question, you learn a lot about what people expect of those who represent them. So I've been doing that for, ever since I was first elected. And the second thing, and Vanessa, I did this one with you, but we call it Sherry on Shift, where I job shadow people. And I've done everything from process fish out of the Mississippi River to change street bulbs 30 feet up in a cherry picker with the rural electric co-op. I have cut metal wire. I have poured steel into forms, and I have worked with you in this in your radio booth here. That was my 100th before the pandemic hit. But it is why that's so helpful is because you're working shoulder to shoulder with people who are working very, very hard just to make a living or support their family. And you learn a lot about the people in this region. You learn a lot about, again, how hard people work and how tough some of those jobs really are. And so those things have helped me a great deal. They have led to legislation that I've written, how I vote, what I vote for, what I vote against. Because in the end, my title is representative, but it's also my job description, that you represent the 711,000 people in this congressional district.
Okay. And I should back up. I don't know much about politics. I didn't mean to say politics has changed. Access to information about politics has rapidly changed in 10 years. What's hardest about being in Congress, being in D.C.?
Yeah, politics really has changed, and not for the better, I hate to say. I think when I was first running, again, I've been doing this for 10 years now, full time, and I really thought that, whether you have a D next to your name or an R next to your name, as long as you work hard, you're honest, you listen, you don't, create drama, you just get the job done and you get results, I kind of thought, people in this region are open to that. I still, this is a district that Donald Trump won in 2016 and in 2020, and I'm a Democrat, and still I've won five straight elections in here, and then before that, two elections for a city council. But when you go out to Washington, it is just increasingly partisan. It came to a head on January 6th of this year. I was sitting on the House floor, working on the House floor when the mob charged the Capitol and literally, we're trying to break down the doors where I was sitting just a few rows from that. And you look at that and you kind of think, man, how did we, in the world's greatest democracy, in the world's longest serving democracy, how did we come to this point? And it was, you know, I mean, just a huge, huge disappointment, really kind of a life-changing moment, the scariest moment of my life. And I hope that we have better days ahead. Something else I'm proud of is that nearly every piece of legislation I've introduced, I mean, there's a few exceptions to this, have been bipartisan on day one. I have sought out Republicans to be my co-sponsor of legislation, or in some cases they have sought me out to be co-sponsors of their legislation, and that's been very important to me. And I will continue that until, you know, the day I am done serving in this role, because I think it's incredibly and increasingly important that we look for those opportunities to work together.
And Sherry, currently there's so much discussion about our census data that we look at the fact that we're going to lose a seat. Does that play a role in your thinking process? And or what are your thoughts about Illinois and in our rural area? It looks like from preliminary data, it's going to be the rural area that will lose that seat.
Well, it did not have anything to do with my decision on this. What will happen is this congressional district and every district in Illinois, because we're losing one seat and we all have to be proportionate, we will all gain somewhere around 60 to 70,000 people in these congressional districts. So it doesn't necessarily mean because we've lost population in Illinois, it doesn't mean that in Chicago they're going to have bigger congressional districts and we'll have smaller ones or vice versa. It means that all of our districts, you will have more population in them. And how exactly this district is drawn by the legislature and whatever the governor signs into law, I can't imagine that it's going to change a great deal as far as the political makeup of it. Right now, all 435 congressional districts in the entire nation all have performance indexes. And what that means is every district, either you are either like a D plus five, let's say that. That means you've got a 5-point advantage for a Democrat. Or you're an R plus three, meaning you have a 3-point advantage for Republicans. Or you're even. This district on paper is a Republican plus two. So a Republican has an advantage. And yet I've been able to be successful. And I think going forward, this district will be somewhere around, you know, an R plus something, you know, 1, 2, 3, or a D plus 1, 2, 3, meaning it's almost a swing district. And I think that's a good thing. I think that shows that people in this region, they don't want you to be extreme. They just want you to get the job done and work hard. And if you don't, it's going to be hard to be elected or to be reelected.
The Rural Green Partnership was one we spoke about at our last Ag Roundtable that you introduced as legislation that pertained to most people in our district, especially, you know, regarding the climate change atmosphere. Is that still on the table? Because you hear more about the Green New Deal, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, look, the Rural Green Partnership that we wrote out of my office is, I don't want to say completely different than the whatever the other one is called, that one I would argue has more of a maybe a coastal focus, mm-hmm. Maybe more of an urban focus. The reason I wrote this is literally to say, hey, we want a seat at the table here in rural America. We want our producers and our growers to have a seat at the table. We don't want fingers pointed at us as always being part of the problem. We're saying we can be part of the solution. So we look at things like biofuels. We look at things like cover crops, no-till. We look at things that can be very good for the environment through an ag lens or from more of a rural lens. And is it still on the table? Yes, it's still on the table. And I testified before the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis to say, hey, this is really important as we look at overall philosophy on the environment. And, you know, Vanessa, at your roundtable with the growers and producers that we did, a month or so ago, it was brought up about as General Motors makes this announcement about electric vehicles, what are we going to do about it? And it was at your roundtable that you hosted that I learned more about the technology in vehicles that we want to make sure that we are looking at, especially as we go to perhaps if it becomes an all-electric fleet that different manufacturers are looking at. We don't want to be left behind. We want to, again, we want to be part of the solution, and we want to grow our economy in a way that makes sense for our region.
Okay. We're talking with Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, Congressional District 17th, and not seeking reelection. What are some of the areas of interest you'd like to see changed in Washington, D.C., that you feel could be better for the American people overall?
I think we really have to look for ways to cross that aisle. We've got the caucuses that I've been able to create out there. I've created the Air Cargo Caucus, for example. Maybe not so meaningful right here, but in the northern part of our congressional district, it's one of the biggest economic drivers, air cargo, and we've been able to be very successful. So we've brought together 40 Democrats and Republicans as part of that. I'm on the Rural Broadband Caucus, which is critically important to get broadband to those 30 million Americans who either don't have it at a level that they need it or don't have it at all. And again, look for those ways that that it's issues focused, but where we can bring in Democrats and Republicans together. A lot of people who have been out in Washington a really, really long time talk about how everything changed when Newt Gingrich became Speaker, and that his view was that he didn't want his members to be friends with Democrats, and that he wanted them always to go home when we weren't in session, but those were times when Democrats and Republicans built those personal relationships. Now, as I look back at my time in Washington, there are not a whole lot of activities that lend themselves to work together. I'm on the Congressional Women's Softball Team. That does, because we're Democrats and Republicans, House members, senators, and we play against the Washington Women's Press Corps. On the other side of it, though, the men's baseball team, they play Democrats against Republicans. So even in sports, at least the men can't seem to get together. But I really think that we've got to address that. I think when you look at congressional districts, if more of them were structured as swing districts where you don't have to be extreme, I think that would lend itself to more members of Congress who understand the importance of working together to get things done.
Sure, sure. And having a retreat where you guys, get out and build a bridge or go have a beer and pizza or something.
Well, even our retreats, Vanessa, we do it as Democrats mm-hmm. or as Republicans. We don't do them. They are not bipartisan retreats. We have one every year, and it's always done along party lines.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So not running for reelection, but have 20 months. We've got some major longstanding issues. What's going to happen with immigration, do you think?
It is one of the issues of the day, and it's a sticky one. And I'm guessing, Vanessa, you have these discussions when you're talking to our growers and our producers as well. But to some level, if you go to a dairy farm, and you look at the workers there, we've got to have immigration reform for farm country. Go to a poultry farm, same thing. It is. I remember going to a poultry farm in the northern part of our congressional district, and the guy who runs the farmer who runs it said that he literally cannot hire neighbor kids, can't hire any of his so-called neighbors. Every worker in that plant was Hispanic, and you go to dairy farms and you see a lot of the same. So it is, we really have to figure this out. I would call it comprehensive immigration reform that addresses the border. I mean, we have to address that, but we also have to address the workers who we need in our country to be able to get our jobs done. And so I think it's all of that. We've got to be humane about it, and we also have to be smart about it. Joe Biden, I think, is committed to trying to get this figured out. But right now, we've got a long way to go. And nothing's going to pass if Democrats and Republicans don't come together on this. I still remember when I was first elected and we had this bipartisan, it was called the Gang of Eight. It was Democrats and Republicans, and there was high hope that we would be able to get this done. And yet, here we are all these years later and really not a whole lot of progress.
Is there a caucus that features the governors of the states who are directly impacted on a hourly, you know, basis with immigration?
You know, I'm guessing there's not a caucus in Congress like that, but I'm guessing that there are conversations with the White House and the governors. I mean, especially when you look at the border states, those governors have a lot to say. And we do have members of Congress who cover those border districts with Mexico, who have a lot of opinions and varying opinions on that. And I know that they've been invited over to the White House to have those discussions.
Okay. 1989, I believe, last time that folks talked about D.C. becoming a 51st state. What's your prediction on that discussion?
I don't think it's going to happen, at least right now. There's not enough votes in the Senate to pass that. There are even Democrats on the Senate side have said that they're not in favor of that. So, look, the majorities in the House and Senate, Democrats have the majority in the House. But it's a very, very slim majority. In the Senate, as you know, it's 50-50. So literally to pass really big and bold legislation, for the most part, you've got to kind of narrow that in and kind of come more to the center for things to pass. And I don't think the votes are there for that to get through.
Okay. What's next for you? If you could wave a magic wand, what would be the actual political role that you would that would be most effective for Sherry Bustos?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's going to be a political role. I know that I've got 20 months still to serve. And again, I want to end my tenure in Congress doing a great job. I want to end on the highest note I can possibly end on, meaning doing great work for the people here. That is really, really important to me. I feel blessed that we have a team that understands what public service is, making sure that if a veteran needs our help, that we're there for that veteran. Same thing with people on Medicare or Social Security, that we are there to help. We've closed about 6,000 cases. And when I say cases, that's casework. Every single one of those is attached to a human being who needed our help. And usually people don't go to a congressional office unless you're pretty upset about something or really desperately need something, some kind of help. Legislatively, I want to make sure that we pass this rebuilding package to get those resources at home so we can help rebuild. We're going to need new ventilation systems in schools, make sure that it's not just roads and bridges, but that rural broadband that we talked about. I want to do everything we can to make sure people have access to that. So a lot to do then. But after that, I have 20 months to figure it out. I don't know if it will be in politics. I don't know. It might be in the private sector. Mm-hmm. I just know that you look at what guides you and what motivates you. It is doing something that will make a difference in one way or another for our communities, in our nation, in our world. I don't know, but when people would threaten to that they wanted to primary me or take me out one way or another, I would always say, hey, there's a lot worse things than being an ex-congresswoman. And so I will be an ex-congresswoman on January 3rd of 2023, and then I hope my next chapter is something big and bold and meaningful.
Okay. And not gonna let us know yet if that's in politics.
Yeah, well, and actually, I would let you know, but I don't know myself. I'm open to what makes the most sense.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Waving a magic wand. If I ever had to, could do that, it'd be like a player personnel coordinator for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
There you go.
But that's
okay.
Never gonna happen.
Well, then if I could do that, I would be a pro tennis player. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any thoughts on your part? And I don't mean this in the way it's coming out, but your party probably is looking at the next chapter. They probably want to continue to see this area, the 17th, in a demo with a D behind it, as you called it. Any thoughts on who they're going to be looking at?
There's a lot of political talent here. There are already two Republicans who have announced, one of whom announced like literally almost immediately after I said I wasn't running for re-election. So there's already two who are in this race. And as far as any Democrats who would get in, it's an open seat. that does not happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
When I ran, it was not an open seat. I defeated an incumbent to serve in Congress. So it's actually pretty rare in the scheme of things where you've got completely where there's not an incumbent Democrat or an incumbent Republican. So it's a good opportunity for somebody who has political talent, and the timing of this works for them and for their families.
Right. And I did not know there was a second Republican. The only one I was aware of was Esther Joy King had announced quite early on. So forgive me, I don't know the second.
I don't remember. It's a guy. I don't really know anything about him. So I'd tell you his name if I could remember. But I don't even know the guy.
Advice for the next person heading into D.C. because it seems like, you know, you want to take someone who's what you'd call in the normal sector, the, you know, whether they're a farmer, a teacher, a banker, or what have you, you want them to go in and they have their good ideas. And the hard part is you get in and it's almost like a tough machine in some ways.
Yeah, I think my advice is I'd like to say that God gave us two ears, two ears and one mouth, and use them proportionally. I think for somebody who's going to listen to people and when they make a decision of getting in this race, to first and foremost listen to people. What do people want from their member of Congress? What issues should this person focus on? And I think start by listening, and that's the best advice I could give.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you wanting to talk to our audience. I know folks were anticipating hearing you today, so I appreciate you wanting to stop by and talk to them. Anything you'd like to leave our audience with?
I think just that this has been really the honor of my professional lifetime. The fact that my name has been on the ballot in this congressional district for, excuse me, I'm not crying. I'm just getting, I just have a tickle in my throat.
I got that earlier with the tea. It's got to be the
I don't know.
Tea.
It must be your green tea that you made here. What'd you put in this, Vanessa? But, you know, the fact that I've had my name on the ballot in this congressional district five times and people have supported me and trusted me to take their voice to Washington. And, you know, I hope they've seen that I've tried my hardest, worked my hardest, and tried to represent this area the best I can. And really, it has been the honor of my professional lifetime.
Okay. Thanks for stopping in this morning. Good luck to you in the next 20 months.
Thank you very much, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
Sherry Bustos with us, United States Representative in Congress in the 17th Congressional District on 1330 WRAM and FM 94.